Verse 21 to 38, as we'll be going through this story today. Now, this morning, I want to reflect on the greatest gift God has ever given us, that being the birth of Christ. So how does this gift make us feel? How do we really understand what we have received? And can we really see this gift? I mean, can you and I really identify the gift we have received from God? Now, I picked this passage of scripture because here we have two people who have longed to see this gift, which they believed would come, and they never ever questioned it. And even though this story happens a little time after Christ's birth, it is still really an amazing story. Now, in the verses before this, you read about Christ's circumcision, Simeon's encounters and prophecy of Christ, and Anna's testimony of Christ. But this morning, I will especially focus on the remarkable story of Simeon and Anna. But before I do, we will talk very briefly about the relevance of Christ's circumcision and the need for it. Now, this will show the relevance and need of a Saviour. So to understand the birth of Christ, you have to understand the reason for the birth. And as we have read, Jesus is now 8 days old, and it is required at this time for the child to be given his name and receive the sign of the covenant by way of circumcision. John the Baptist and Jesus' name was decided by the angel Gabriel as instructed by God. The names of both children pointed to the new age of grace and that which was coming. For John the Baptist's name means God is gracious, and Jesus' name means the Lord saves. And Jesus was God's agent in saving his people from their sin. Now, as is written in Matthew 1:21, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, this makes the circumcision part of the ceremony interesting in regards to Jesus, for Jesus was born and remained perfect. And even though he was born of woman, he was conceived by the Holy Spirit and overshadowed within the womb by the Holy Spirit. And this ensured his perfect state. So why was he circumcised? Well, circumcision was a sign of God's covenant sealed in blood. It signified the separation of the child from a life of sin and death, meaning a life to be lived for the Lord. It is through circumcision that a person was required to keep the whole of God's law. And this is what Christ done. He kept the whole law, something that man was not capable of in his current state of depravity. So I want to read three portions of scripture before we move on this morning. And I want you to refer back to these passages of scripture throughout the year, in actual fact, throughout your life, as they help you understand what you need and have in Christ. They also help you really see your Saviour. So first, I'm going to read Galatians chapter 3, verse 10 to 14. And it said, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." And then chapter 4, verse 4 to 6. "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoptions as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. And lastly, Galatians 5, verse 3 to 4. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. So as you see in what we've just read, Christ had to put himself under the law for our sakes. The fact this sign of circumcision was given to Jesus showed that as a true son of Abraham, he was one with his covenant people. And by us trusting and accepting in Christ's obedience to the law instead of ourselves, we will inherit a share in his righteousness and spirit. So what does that mean? Well, that means salvation. But to have salvation, you have to be able to recognize the Christ. And it is the rich encounter Simeon and Anna have concerning Jesus at the temple that shows us how this Jesus is really seen. And by really seeing the Christ, we then understand what we really have and what has been accomplished for us. So I'm going to focus on three things this morning. Firstly, Simeon through faith sees the Christ. And then two, Simeon through faith proclaims the Christ. And three, Anna through faith bears witness of Christ. So we've got Simeon through faith sees the Christ and he proclaims the Christ, and Anna through faith bears witness of Christ. Now at this point, Jesus is about 6 weeks old. Joseph and Mary have travelled 7 miles to the temple in Jerusalem from Bethlehem. Now, this temple was the one in the process of being built by order of Herod the Great, and there was about 1,000 stonemasons building it, and they have been at it for about 10 years, working 6 days a week. And it still took them another 65 years to finish from there. Now, the two reasons Joseph and Mary had to go to the temple was to perform the customary rites of Mary's purification according to the law of Moses. For any woman who gave birth to a son was ceremonially unclean for 40 days after birth. As is written in Leviticus 12, 1 to 4, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a woman has conceived and born a male child, then she shall be unclean 7 days, as in the days of her customary impurity, she shall be unclean. And on the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. She shall then continue in the blood of her purification 33 days. She shall not touch any hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purification are fulfilled. Now, and the second reason was to present Jesus to the Lord, for he was the firstborn. For God said, the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both men and beast, is mine. Exodus 13, verse 2. So as you read, Mary and Joseph were obedient to the ceremonial laws. And it is here that God uses this situation for the baby Jesus to meet Simeon and Anna. Now Luke seems to always present people in pairs, like Mary and Elizabeth, or John the Baptist and Jesus. And now he introduces us to a man and a woman of true faith, saints. And if you think about it, they were the first who found and saw the joy of salvation in Christ. This ordinary man and ordinary woman, who both walked in obedience to God, not only saw their own salvation, but they saw everybody else's as well. Simeon, we read, was just and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now, Luke indicated here that Simeon was righteous, and nobody had any reason to question his faith. and that he was totally accepted by God, for he had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now, not much is known about Simeon at all. Some say he was a priest, for a priest would have known of the prophecies concerning Malachi. You know, Malachi 3 verse 1, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delighted, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." Now, this could explain the reason why Simeon was waiting in Jerusalem, but the Bible does not say. Also, from the time he was told about seeing the Redeemer and actually seeing him is also not known. But what is known is that he would not see death until he sees the Christ. Now, here we see that time has no relevance at all, but faith does. Once Simeon had the promise, he patiently waited for its fulfillment. And that's what it means to be a believer. It means waiting in faith for God to do what he has promised. Now, the fact that Simeon met Jesus in the temple was no coincidence. He was moved by the Holy Spirit to do so. And it is here we must remember that Simeon, even though being in the temple, had no way of identifying Jesus, for he had never seen him. Simeon not only was moved by the Holy Spirit to go to the temple, but he was also able to identify the Christ by way of the Holy Spirit. Other than John the Baptist from within his mother's womb, who felt the presence of Christ within Mary's womb, Christ was only identified by the prophecy of an angel. For it was by an angel that Zechariah, Mary, Joseph and the shepherds were told. And friends, it is also today, like Simeon, that we get to recognise the Christ this way as well. We may not see him physically, that's true. But rest assured, Christ is only made known to us by the working of the Holy Spirit. It is faith that made Simeon go to the temple. It was by faith that made him see the Christ. So do you by faith see Christ? Do you by faith see that that your only means to salvation is in Christ? The world's way says seeing is believing. But Christians should be saying believing is seeing. Simeon saw a small child and knew this to be the Saviour. You and I, well, we have the whole scripture. So I say again, do you see the Saviour? Recognition of Christ is eternal life secured in him. And this is a gift from God. And this is achieved by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit alone. There is no other way of recognition. None. So friends, if you see the Christ, do what Simeon did. Walk in faith and show Christ to all. Show people by what you do, say and act, so they see that there is something different in you. And then pray continually for the Holy Spirit to allow them also the ability to recognise the Christ. For to recognise Christ means you see the Saviour and you believe in what he has done. And accept it without question. So let us now in point two see how Simeon reacted once he recognized the Christ. Simeon through faith proclaims the Christ. Number two. Now once Simeon took baby Jesus up in his arms, he started praising God and blessed him. The sheer joy of meeting your Saviour and being able to recognize him would have to make you feel nothing else but overcome with emotion. And the words spoken by Simeon reflect that in every way. For he said, as is written in verse 29 to 32, so let's read that. "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Now here we have the acknowledgement of promise. Simeon sees himself as a servant of God, and he had a set task from God. God called Simeon to wait and watch for the star of salvation, the rising of his son. He had seen Jesus, and by that had seen the salvation of his God. Of course, we must remember that Simeon or anybody else's salvation did not come simply because of Jesus' birth. Jesus still had to live a perfect life and then die an atoning death and from there rise to eternal glory. No salvation is achieved without the cross and the empty tomb. Simeon was privileged in seeing that salvation had come in the person of Jesus Christ. And in that, he felt assured that God would do everything else needed to ensure his personal salvation. And rightly so. For this child in his arms was not simply a part of salvation, but all of salvation. Jesus is the only thing that anyone needs to be saved. And it is for this reason the coming of Christ was important for Simeon. This meant that he can now die with absolute assurance. And this is why he was talking with words of dismissal in the beginning of his prophecy. And as I said before, anyone who has seen Jesus with the eyes of faith would be prepared to die. And everyone who has not seen Christ is not ready to die. It is at the point of seeing Christ and his salvation that you are ready to be dismissed from this life with complete and utter peace and enter the life of harmony with God. But it's not until you see Christ by faith. Have you seen him crucified for your sins and believe? And have you seen him raised for your salvation and believe? It is only then will you be prepared to die. Friends, it is this point that Simeon, after declaring his salvation, moves on and now declares that the salvation that God provided in Jesus is for everyone else. It is for all peoples. And to make it clear, Simeon went on to say that Jesus came for the Gentiles as much as he came for the Jews, as is written in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 1 to 2. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, it says. As when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan in Galilee of the Gentiles. And the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light was shined. What about Isaiah 42:6? I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles. Simeon's prophecy and the prophecies of Isaiah show the need for global evangelization. Jesus is God's light to the nations. The whole world is covered in darkness through sin, and Christ has come to remove darkness and ensure the light of salvation shines everywhere. And Jesus is the reason that we all have a gospel to give to everyone in all parts of the world. So let us all say to everyone, not just at Christmas time or any time, but every day of our lives, look, here is salvation. Jesus Christ is God's light to the world. Jesus Christ is God's gift, a gift that we need to remember every single day. See him and you will be saved. Now as we read on in verses 33 to 35, let's just read that again. And Joseph and his mother marvelled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Simeon has concluded his message of salvation and now speaks directly to Mary. And after Mary and Joseph stood there in amazement at what was said, for he was a complete stranger who had just picked up their child and raised him up. and saying everything about him that was told to them by the angel of God. And remember, there was no conversation before that time. A continuous reassurance to Mary and Joseph of how special this child, Jesus, is. But it's also at this point that Simeon says something about this child they have not heard. And I would suspect they would not want to hear it either. For here is the first hint of Christ's suffering, which he had to endure to bring salvation. Mary was only told of his greatness and his glory, his royal kingship, his divine lordship, and the peace he brings. It is at this point Mary learns how he will be despised and rejected and ultimately nailed to the cross. Mary was being prepared for what is to come, regardless of her intense joy at present. A day is going to come where she will suffer incredible and emotional pain, which will strike at her heart. And God used this particular prophecy to prepare Mary for the crucifixion, so she too would believe and be saved. As Jesus was growing up, she would have remembered everything that Simeon said. And the day she was at the cross where Jesus was hanging, this prophecy she knew was true and essential, but yet very, very distressing. Friends, this is important for all, and including Mary, that this was God's original plan for the salvation of his people. It was not for salvation of everyone, which is why Simeon spoke about people falling as well as rising. For a lot of people today think that Jesus came for all people. However attractive this may sound, it is not the biblical truth. Jesus comes to judge as well as to save. And this is why Simeon said, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." And it is here, friends, that Jesus will expose what is really in man's heart. If we are sincerely humbled by our sin, then we will see the need for grace and draw near to Christ, who assures our path to glory. Yet people refuse to be humbled by their sin. They stand proud, not recognizing what is essential for forgiveness, thinking they can do it by themselves. In actual fact, they take offense in the idea that salvation is only achieved by Christ on the cross. I mean, how ridiculous is that? But Christ is this major obstacle that they can't get around and something they keep falling over. And this is why Simeon meant what he meant when he said that Jesus would cause the fall of many in Israel. Jesus is a stumbling block. As is written in Isaiah 8, verse 14, "He will be as a sentry, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offence to both the houses of Israel, as a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem." What about 1 Corinthians 1, 23? "But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness." Although some receive Christ in faith, others also reject him in unbelief. They speak against the sign of God's love that has been offered to them, for it searches man's heart, and some will reject a salvation which can only be achieved by way of the cross. And very sadly, this is the way it always has been. When people truly do not understand the claims of Christ, they are rejected. And this is the reason why Christians are rejected at all levels. And this is the very thing that Jesus came to do, to show the true inward state of every heart, whether in faith or unbelief. So if people are opposed to you as Christians, it is because they are against Christ. So if there is true opposition to you, this is a sign that the Christ is truly present in you. Friends, what is your response to Christ? Are you for him or against him? Will you rise or will you fall? And Christ uses his cross to reveal our true character, working out his everlasting decree of election. There is no such thing as being neutral. That's a myth. Either we're for him or we're against him. And if we're against him, we will slide down the pole of spiritual death, and then physical death, and ultimately down into hell itself. And it's for this reason that Luke tells us this, so we will come to faith in Jesus Christ, not falling, but rising. So let us remember it is the humble that come to Christ with confession of sin and the faith and what he has done. These will be the ones who rise to eternal glory with him. And now for the last point, very short point was after for this morning. Anna through faith bears witness of Christ. Now here we have a woman who happened to be present when Simeon had Jesus in his arms and heard all that was said by Simeon concerning Jesus. And Luke, once again, was very careful to ensure Anna's credentials were known. And this gave credibility as a witness. So all will believe and not doubt in the encounter that Simeon had with baby Jesus. Firstly, Luke mentions in verse 36 that Anna was a prophetess. Now this was extremely rare, for in the Old Testament there were only 7 prophetesses. Anna had the rare privilege of knowing and proclaiming God's will for his people. Anna was a widow, and an old one at that, for her husband was taken from her only 7 years into the marriage. This means she not only was over her hundreds in age, but also 100 in age, that she was proclaiming God for 80 years after her husband died. And God called her to be a widow. He released her from the duty of caring for a family so she could live a complete life in him. Anna served God in public worship, never missing a service, ever. Anna, by her dedication to the service of God, was simply living out the joy of knowing God. Her works were the proof of her faith as she also waited for salvation. And God planned for her to be there so she can see and recognise her Saviour as well. And at the same time being a witness to the events actually taking place. Anna, like Simeon, once she saw the child, knew it to be the Saviour. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit also allowed her to recognise and believe. And it's at that point, in seeing Jesus, she did what everyone who comes to Christ should do. She thanked God for the gift of her salvation in Christ. She also went on to tell all, for the news was so exciting and too good to keep to herself. So just like the shepherd, she reacted by evangelizing, spreading the good news, and testifying to the truth of Christ. And friends, like I said before, we can see even more clearly than Simeon and Anna did. For we see him not only in his birth as they did, but we see him in his death and resurrection, knowing for sure that in Christ we have forgiveness of sins and the promise of eternal life. And the Holy Spirit to help us follow their example by looking in faith and waiting in continuous prayer. Now I want to finish today with some words from J.C. Ryle, one of the great preachers of the 1800s. He said, "If they with so few helps and so many discouragements live such a life of faith, how much more ought we with a finished Bible and a full gospel? Let us strive like them to walk by faith and continually look forward to the coming of Christ for the final time." Friends, this Christmas or any day, let us reflect on what it means to see Christ by believing. Let us all embrace this amazing gift of salvation and live in real joy. Let us embrace the complete scripture and truly know our Saviour and our own state. Friends, do you see your Saviour? Can you really see him? Have you really, really embraced him? Remember, your salvation depends on this one and only gift. A gift of salvation secured through Christ alone, which applies to all who believe by faith. Embrace Christ and really love him, because in him boy, you have an amazing joy. Let us pray. Merciful Father, we thank you for the gift of salvation secured in our Saviour Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for your word, the complete word, the living word that allows us to identify our Saviour. We know it is by the power of your Spirit that allows us to see ourselves for who we are. Yes, in need of a Saviour, but the Spirit also brings us to the one and only truth, being your holy word. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for the love that you continually show us. And we thank you for the embrace of our Saviour. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit that allows us to see it and opens our eyes to the truth. Lord, we pray that all people may get to know Jesus by the power of your Spirit and being able to identify him by the richness of your word. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.